You're with SBS Radio.
We are very, very far from anything that looks like a treaty anywhere in this country.
Yeah.
Yes, you know, we've got a couple of Labor state governments who are going down a treaty pathway. Mm. However, it's not the desirable pathway that many, many grassroots clans and nations agree with.
Yeah.
Due to the fact that these state governments are choosing who are at the table and who start with this conversation. Ultimately, what it's doing already is disenfranchising many of our grassroots people, choosing captain's picks to have the voice for our people. The treaty that I'm looking for is not what the Labor governments are talking about.
Yeah.
It seems that, you know, they've gone down a very bureaucratic process which sets the agenda, decides who sits at the table, and I'm fearful of some kind of administrative process in the name of self-determination that actually disempowers our people more than strengthens our people.
But Victoria looks like the state that is the most advanced out of all Australian states. We had South Australia actually also going the same pathway. And then when a new government was voted in, things changed completely and they went back to square one. Whereas Victoria, at least we are talking about electing First Nations Assembly in the next few weeks.
On the surface, it looks great, and the Victorian government, on the surface, look quite progressive in this space. However, we have 200 people on the front line trying to save sacred birthing trees, which are known to be 800 year old.
Yeah.
We have a forest which covers three clan groups that's being logged at the rate of, you know, the size of five MCGs per day in the Central Highlands.
Yeah.
So whilst we say, and you know, whilst people think that this government is progressive, you only need to scratch the surface to see how controlled this process is and how they're destroying our land as quickly as they can before we even get to negotiate what a treaty might look like.
And the panel discussion you'll be leading, well, as I said in the introduction, it's already booked out. We went online to see if I can also maybe, possibly, if I'm in Melbourne, maybe book myself a seat and at least witness history in the making, people talking about what First Nations people talking about their treaty and what it would look like and what other First Nations from other states view the situation in Victoria. Now, how do the other First Nations writers and thinkers view the process in Victoria?
The pathway that the Victorian government through the Treaty Commissioner have gone down is to reserve 11 seats for registered Aboriginal parties. Now, registered Aboriginal parties are ultimately chosen by the Minister for Aboriginal Affairs through a process with the Victorian Aboriginal Heritage Council.
Yeah.
We want to self-determine who our representation is, not a bureaucratic process. And so there are many clans and nations that don't have reserved seating. We have approximately 38 nations across this state, and 11 have been given reserved seating. So there are many people that have chosen not to participate in this treaty process because they have been denied a voice, or, you know, denied our cultural representation, which, you know, has been around for thousands and thousands of generations, and we're being forced down a colonial style bureaucratic process which chooses the representation from a government perspective.
Yeah.
That's not how we operate as First People of these lands. We know who our people are within our own clans and nations, and we should be able to self-determine who they are and how they represent us. Yes, there are a lot of, you know, I know that the treaty election is struggling to even have people enrolled to vote. I understand the numbers now at 1,500 people. and we have 35,000 eligible voters across the state. So it's not going very well, and I put my hand up to be a candidate so that I can see what is going on the inside and also try and strengthen it in a way that all of our people have a say.
Of course, try to bring your voice, because we know you don't mince your words. If something is needs to be said, you say it right in everyone's face. And you represent and advocate for your community with power, strength and conviction. The people who are invited in the panel come from Tasmania, from South Australia. I've got Uncle Jim Everett, he's from Tasmania. We've got Marie Munkara. We've got Ellen Van Nerven, who is from Queensland. And Ali Kobe Ekerman.
So, an amazing lineup.
Yeah, it's an amazing lineup. With I've already tried to Google and see what their views are. One of the ones that I can pick is Ali Kobe Ekerman. It says that her view is that she invites rather than dictates political readings.
I think that we should be conciliatory. I mean, if you look at the last 230 years of colonisation and invasion, Aboriginal people have been very conciliatory, very patient.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't want any more of our people to be subjected to the injustices that our people face every single minute of every single day.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, I support that position. However, we can't sit on the fence either, and we can't allow these injustices to continue. You know, we have the Tanya Day inquest happening as we speak.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's another death in custody. So it's okay to be conciliatory, but we have to call out these injustices at the same time.
Yeah.
And a treaty, you know, a treaty has to end these injustices. A treaty has to reparate our stolen generation. A treaty has to protect our land and our water. And a treaty has to economically empower our people, as the poorest people in our own country, the sickest people in our own country. We need to be reparated, and we want to also economically benefit from the stolen wealth that this country has accumulated over 230 years of invasion.
And your view, according to the latest media appearance, recognition talks could be actually impeding on treaty talks.
Constitutional recognition is very dangerous, and the more our people come to understand how dangerous it is, then I think more people would question going into this, you know, this colonial project's law. It is the law that has been imposed on our people since it was established in 1901. Yeah. We have the oldest law on the planet. So to be put into the Australian Constitution is about assimilation. It's about making us Indigenous Australians, which would give more power to the government to make laws for us and against us. So I believe my position and my family's position, because I don't speak without my elders' authority, is that we need to talk about a peace treaty which stops these injustices, as I said earlier, and we can make constitutional recognition part of a treaty negotiation. It does not make sense to go into the constitution before we've settled this country. We all live in an unsettled country. There's never been any agreement with our people for the colonizers to come here.
Yeah.
And we think it's time to sit down and negotiate with every clan and nation across the country and talk about what that looks like for them.
Yeah, before going into so recognition is actually a distraction. It's taking the attention away from the real, real discussion, which according to you is a proper treaty. Would it be a national treaty or state by state?
I think that it should be up to each clan and nation to make that decision. I think that until we have those conversations, then we're not going to know that. We've never been one national voice. It's not how we operate as a people. We have hundreds of different languages across the country, and I think that it should be based on self-determination, free informed prior consent for all of those clans and nations to self-determine their own destiny in this treaty discussion. And I think that the government shouldn't waste money on a referendum. They should invest first and foremost in a comprehensive conversation with every clan and nation to self-determine what they want.
Most definitely. Now, before I let you go, any word, parting word of...
before everyone jumps on the constitutional recognition bandwagon and the statement from the heart bandwagon, be very clear about what you are giving consent to as a First Nations person. Consent is something that we need to understand. We need to look at the Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous People and look at the article pertaining to consent. Because once you agree to going into this constitution, we can't change that. So be informed. Inform yourself. I know it looks pretty, but scratch the surface and have a look ultimately how that affects our people. We need to have informed decision making, and I think how constitutional recognition, the recognised campaign, the statement from the heart, you, me, unity, they've all been mechanisms to con our people and manufacture consent of our people to agree to assimilate into a constitution which will ultimately call us Indigenous Australians and will just be like everybody else. We will have no rights as people anymore.
Hear more stories in your language by visiting sbs.com.au.